build the buildings with. And that's all the buildings they really had at the time when I was a camper.
But they built more after you were there.
Yes, after I had left, and they had to build all the... Well, there was another building, I'm sorry, that where the Fishers lived. It was a camp, but maybe couple hundred yards from the boys' camp. But that was there. And then they built another cottage when the Larbys took over the girls' camp. And they had to build a camp for the... a lodge for the girls. They again slept in tents, however. But they had a couple of lodges that they built. So, and there was also a cottage-like for the cooks right next to the kitchen.
And you said the tents held 5 or 6 campers, usually?
Each tent had 5, normally 4 or 5, mm-hmm. as a rule. Because the tents were of a size that you get 4... more than 4, and you had a pretty small area to walk in there. Mm-hmm. But they were all good tents. They were heavy tents, and they also had a fly going over each one for heavy rains and so on. So.
And when it was lights out, you were expected to be quiet? No interruptions during the night?
Yeah. In fact, every Sunday, I didn't mention this before, but every Sunday, each boy was to write a letter home. It could be just a postcard. It didn't have to be a long letter. And they came out with a newsletter, which you put in your letter to send home. So your parents got a chance to see what you were doing and what was going on, and so on. And I've got some here I can show you. So,
What are the things we're... put in the newsletter?
Well, this past week Howard Talbot passed his test for taking out a canoe, and we congratulate Howard on this. That would be one thing. And that last week the chefs outdid themselves with giving us a steak dinner, and things like this, just a little one-sentence type things, too. Not a big epistle or anything, but just if something, one camper did something unusual, I'd put it in about his doing whatever it was he did.
And your parents enjoyed getting those newsletters each week?
I would assume so. My parents did, I guess. In fact, my mother saved all the ones that I wrote, so I guess she must have enjoyed it.
I think so.
We're getting really close to the end of time, so is there any other stories about Camp Chenango that you feel are important to share?
That I'd want to put in what?
Do you have any other stories you haven't shared about Camp Chenango?
Oh, about camp? Well, not really. As a camper, when I was there, we used to play hide the flag. And there'd be 2 teams, and of course you had the whole woods to work with. And I was going to hunt for the flag, and I was right on the edge of a ledge just above the beach in the water. And it gave way, whatever, and I fell down and kind of knocked myself out for a few minutes. So that was one thing I remember. And I remember once, and I was a counselor, I took my tent group of boys in the sailboat, and I took them out for a sail. I could do that as a counselor. And my mother and father were camping across the lake, and so we sailed over to where they were camping, and I let them get off on shore and meet my mother and father and so on. And while we were there, this terrific storm came up, wind and rain. So we just simply stayed there. And of course, the people at camp were worried sick because they didn't know where we were. And so I finally got on the phone and called camp and said we're over here and told them the location. Well, as soon as the storm was over, they sent a motorboat over to tow us back to camp.
Were there any other times where you got injured? You mentioned that you had
I don't think I really ever got injured. I might have got a bruise once in a while or something, but I can remember coming down one night from a council ring, and we had like a trailer going down, and I had gone riding earlier in the afternoon, horseback riding. I had my junipers on. And all of a sudden, I felt something down in here that was moving a little bit. So I stopped, and one of the other fellows turned a flashlight down there, and I got my pants open, and what would I have
happened? Your lower leg?
Pardon me?
In your lower leg?
In my pants, between my leg and pants inside. Mm-hmm. And I got in there, and finally it was a frog. Somehow had gotten down in there, I don't know, a council ring, and so I had to get the frog out of my pants before I go any farther. And there was one part of my life up there that I was named Camper of the Year. They always had a banquet at the end of the year, and they named one a Camper of the Year, and I was named Camper of the Year. And I have a cup here that you can see, and each year somebody was given that cup. So I've kept it after camp closed. They gave it to me to keep because I was still there in Cooperstown. And you can see all the other names of the ones that were named Camper of the Year.
Were there certain things that would cause campers to be elected for Camper of the Year?
I don't really know all of the things that they used for criteria. I think it was a good camper. You never caused any trouble or any problems, and you were always ready and willing to do whatever you might have been asked to do. You participated in everything. You didn't back off and just stay away from it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just those type of things that they were looking for.
Was there ever any competition over who would get Camper of the Year?
Not really for the cup, no. In fact, a lot of the campers didn't even know about it until the end of the year, particularly new campers. We were never told much about it. And then we had the final banquet before they went home. And they never really said much about it until that night. One thing I didn't mention, though, and that is the laundry. They took laundry and drove it up to a place on Route 20 to be done every week. They had uniforms that you normally bought, special shirts and shorts and so on. And they'd take the laundry up there, and this one woman would do all the laundry and go back up a couple of days, pick it all up, and have clean clothes. So that was how that was done. And the food, a lot of your food chain trucks would stop there to drop off whatever they needed in food line. And there was a local fellow, Ernest Chase, who lives here in Cooperstown now, who lived on a farm out in Wig Corners. And they had quite a bunch of cows, so they furnished the milk for a good many of the camps. Most of them come around every day and deliver milk.
Okay, thank you for talking with me. Was there any other stories you wanted to share?
Not that I can think of, no. I think we've covered really pretty much the high points. And it was just a wonderful experience, and I'm very pleased at this stage of my life to have been able to look back and see that I was able to go there. Because I'm sure it had a bearing on my lifestyle and on what I've done with my life as a result of being there at camp.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your story.
Okay. Glad to do it.